You guys getting something out of this? That's why you see sexuality on the list every time of the flesh. Every time it's the first thing on the list. Because it's the thing that's been most perverted and we've hurt each other the most with that one topic right there. That one topic. Don't tell me it's not a big deal or young girls that have vowed themselves wouldn't be crying through relationship after relationship and find themselves with other people trying to find something only Jesus can give. It's because the pressure is on them so much that they're trained by it and they actually believe it's true. And they're just living for that temporal moment where they feel special. Living for that temporal moment where they feel wanted and needed, only to get their heart broke again, and then taking advantage of that. Put it to death as you know it, and let Jesus retrain you and teach you. I'm serious. Okay, enough of that. And Pastor takes a deep sigh. We came out of that clean. The second conference I ever did with Randy, he wasn't there. He had to cancel in the last minute, and he sent a couple interns, and they gave me like 6 sessions, so I really was preaching a lot. I knew he was watching somewhere, and I got on that sexual topic. And I said, the first day I got saved Sunday night. I woke up Monday morning praying in tongues, crying, praying in tongues, just knowing my life would never be the same. And the first thing that came to me was my definition of manhood in the presence of the Lord and how perverted it was. I fell on my knees with nobody looking, Pastor. That's so sweet. There's nobody there. I ain't trying to impress nobody. It's just me in a bedroom with Jesus. And I just fall to my knees and I start crying. And I just start crying and I realize that when I found a pornography magazine at age 11 on the railroad tracks, it started to train me. It opened me up to the lie. And then locker rooms and friendships and conversations, all of a sudden I realized life taught me what's not the truth. And I just became another man in the rat race. And I was in my bedroom crying and I was telling this testimony and I looked up at the camera and I said, oh no. I said, because this is what I cried out and I prayed. And I said, oh no, Randy, where are you? Randy. And I looked and I said, hold on, I'm so sorry. Hold on tight. Because this is what I said to the Lord. I was crying so hard. It was such a serious moment. I said, this is the revelation I got 12 hours old in the Lord. It's honorable. I said, God, there's no way Adam was walking through the garden with an erection saying, what am I supposed to do with this thing? So you made him a woman. That's what came to my heart in my bedroom. And I bawled and bawled and I said, I became this way in the world, but you're in me now. Come and change me forever. And heaven came over me. Yeah. Yahoo. I shared that with 3 different pastors along the way, and they all cut me off and said, whoa, whoa, stop. Listen, stop. I don't even want to hear what you're saying. Look, I enjoy my sex life. I said, that's the problem. Amen. You're missing it. They didn't even want to hear what's possible because they've settled into what they've been trained by. Ooh. And they might have been throwing away the gold because God stepped me into an arena that I didn't even know was possible, and it had nothing to do with being in the flesh with my wife. Let the marriage bed be undefiled. Why do we think that just means don't bring the neighbor's wife in? Wonder if it means don't bring the flesh in because we live in the spirit. Wonder if the flesh is crucified and the marriage bed defiled is just acting out your flesh. You know, we'll hang our spirit on the rack for a little while. Hey, let's go roll in the hay, honey. We'll come back and put our spirits on in a little while. No, you love her. And she loves you in Christ. It's a whole nother realm where God's presence attends your union more than anything you know in the flesh. And where God's holiness and God's oneness is very apparent in your union in Christ. I'm just talking plain. You search it out. I'm done now. But you search that out. Amen? Okay. I want to do something tonight. I gotta, if I don't start winding up now, it's going to be bad. Okay. Are we okay though for right now? Okay. Are you guys all right? Okay. Okay. We all got a little something out of this tonight. Here's what we really established. Man was made for God's image. The image of God was lost when man sinned. That's what died, the image of God. So man didn't just sin. He took on the nature of God's enemy and became completely selfish, self-centered, angry, frustrated, whatever. Come on. It's obvious in Genesis 3, the first effect of sin. Adam, how did you know you were naked? Did you eat the tree? It was the woman you gave me. Self-justification, self-defense, blame shifting. What's he saying? Hey, don't look at me. Don't look at me. If you wouldn't have gave me the woman, probably wouldn't have ate the tree. It was a yes or no question. Adam, did you eat the tree? It was the woman you gave me. Come on, there's implication there. I'm not as guilty as I look. If you wouldn't have gave me the woman, I probably wouldn't have ate the tree. He says, woman, what is this you've done? She said, it was the devil. He made me do it. It's exactly how it went down. My, my, my. Yeah. Now, who of us in this room can't relate to that way of thinking? Making it not so bad. Well, it wasn't really my fault. Well, they started it. Well, I wouldn't have this if they wouldn't have that. So all we're doing is letting sin reproduce sin. We're not overcoming evil with good. We're letting the sin against us have the right to produce sin in us, and everybody loses. Makes a great talk show, and you have victims and villains, and nobody wins. Are you guys all right? Am I challenging you real good tonight? Here's the answer to the challenge. Because you had said, how do I do that? When we talked about ministering to somebody. Like, here's a good example. I went over in the middle of the night. I said to my wife, do you mind if I run over there? The kids are in bed, I'm sure. My wife knows me. She knows me. I know we make up rules, but and it's good to have those rules in place. But I asked my wife, this man left his wife. She found out he's in the arms of another woman a long ways away. And she realizes he ain't coming home. The two kids are in the bed, and she just found out in the middle of the night. She's got a little night robe on, her little house coat, and she's devastated. She calls me crying. I said to my wife, do you mind if I shoot over there? I said, the kids are there. They're in bed. Are you okay? She said, I'm fine. My wife knows me. She actually knows me. Like she would want me to be there to tell her what would be in my heart. That's how my wife would be. She said, I'd rather you talk to her. Go talk to her. So I go in there. When she sees me, the emotion of the moment hits her and I represent something to her. And then she's really crying. She's in the shadows of the living room, dining room, and the light in the kitchen. She's right there. I see her silhouette, and I hear her just as soon as I come in. She said, you can just come right in. I'll have the door open. She's standing in the doorway. When she sees me, she cries three times harder. As I'm crossing the living room, my eyes fill with tears, and they're running down my face because it's real. You wish he didn't do it, but he did. You know it's going to cause ramifications. They're going to have to walk through some things. It's real. And you're crying because you understand that and you see her pain, right? I tell people this. It's not a joke. I give you about 20 seconds of that to let you know that I understand. But if you get more than 20 seconds, you've done more than most. I won't give you more than 20 seconds of that definition of tears. Because if I cry too long with you that way, I'll make you think that's you. And that what he did is now who you are. And the truth is, what he did is who you are. What he did, meaning husband, is just a sad reflection of whatever confusion's going on in him right now. Why does that have to have such a strong reflection on her? And why does her identity have to pay the price now for his actions? Why can't she stay? Watch this. Is she any less anointed, any less a daughter, any less loved by God, or any less filled with the Spirit? Then why do we live that way when those things happen? Oh, I'm being real. So I go across the room. I'm weeping. By the time I hug her and embrace her, I just held her like she was my own sister or daughter. It's just okay for me to be there. My wife knows. I hug her and I said, I'm sorry for his decision. I'm really, really sorry. She's and see, if I stay there, I'll make a draw on things that are never going to help her. She's just going to become a statistic in the body of Christ. I hugged her for just a few seconds and I said, now you listen to me and you listen close. I looked her right in the eyeballs And I told her the truth about what he's done. And this is in no way a reflection of who you are, and you're no less. And I just started speaking to her and about her kids, and not letting this thing dominate, not letting darkness overshadow light and truth. And don't you become a hurting wife, a crushed wife, a broken, trusted woman. You are a woman of God. And God will give you grace if you're willing to stand. He will make... You want someone pastoring you like that in that moment. You don't want, well, give me 3 days to cry. That is way too long. Are you guys with me? Because in those 3 days, you're going to talk to 4 other people that are hurting just like you. And they're going to, I call it wound licking, and nobody's healed. You say they're supporting you. No, they're just relating to your pain with no answer. Come on, guys. So listen, how do we walk this stuff out? That's how we walk it out. How do you walk this love thing out in your personal life? When you leave here, it wouldn't be fair to just say, hey, now go do this. You can't just go walk in love, but you can sure be convicted by it. All of a sudden you start functioning in the flesh, you'll be realizing that, hey, there's a higher way. There's a different way. Every time you find yourself in that place after a night like tonight, when because when God moves me to preach this way, it's not to show you where you're not. It's to show you where you're called. It's not so you leave here and say, boy, I got a long way to go. It's so you leave here rejoicing, saying, man, there's light on the trail. I'm getting this. I have destiny. There's a response in God. Right? Because we walk this life called love. It's amazing how it's going to affect everybody around us. It's amazing how your coworkers will give you a better ear, how you'll have more influence and impact. And watch this. When you're speaking gospel to people, it won't just be your doctrine. It'll be your life lived, and it'll have the power and impact of transformation and change because you're transformed. Each seed produces after its own kind. So you can teach them your Bible knowledge. You can just debate theology over coffee if you want. Or you can impart your life, and it can bring life. You follow me? There's a difference, believe me. That's what happened to Jesus. And it's just, oh, their hearts burned inside. So it's all in your relationship, guys, with him. So know that you have every right to be with him. Don't let anything keep you from intimacy with God. You have a high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. He's passed through the heavens. Come boldly into the throne room of grace and receive from him. Amen? So look, don't let anything keep you from being with him. Now, I'm going to tell you this real strong and straight. And I get emotional when I say it, but I fight back the tears. There's nothing in your life that compares to your God-given ability to be with him. Nothing outweighs your ability to be with him. Praying for the sick and seeing them healed is awesome. It's fun. It's a rush. It's fun. It's cool to see God do something like that. But to be able to get alone when nobody's around and know that he loves you and know that he sees you through the blood and he's made you righteous and he's filled you with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It puts such a humility in you, such a tender heart towards him, such a love and an honor for how his love never fails. And all of a sudden you want to become what's so impressive to you. You want to become the very thing that saved you. You want to look through the same eyes that have looked at you on your darkest day, and you want to see what those eyes saw when they saw you. You look, on the night Jesus was betrayed, remember I said about breaking the bread, and I said, look around, and you knew, come on. And I said, that'd be another hurting pastor in today's. It says on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. It says that on purpose to let you know the night that he cut covenant and died was the night he was betrayed. Why? Because on the night we're betrayed, we feel betrayed, call a friend and cry. On the night he was betrayed, the idea of love and the concept of love is he gives up his life. It ain't about the betrayal, it's about the love. It ain't about they did what? Well, them bunch of lowlife, they said they were going to die for you. Damn chicken hearted. Why didn't you pick some other men? You're all wisdom. You should have known they were going to betray you like that. You should have picked some better dudes. Jesus raises from the dead in John 20, Pastor. He raises from the dead and he says, Mary. And she goes, Rabboni. And she's running for him. She's going to cling to him. She's going to hold on tight. She lost him once. He ain't getting away now. He's right there. He says, don't cling to me, Mary. I haven't ascended yet to my Father. What's he doing? He's going to go put his blood on the mercy seat. He's going to go apply his blood in the mercy seat of heaven, not made with hands. He's going to walk through as the high priest unto God and unto man. He's going to represent man to God and God to man. That's what he's going to do. He says, don't cling to me. Don't cling to me. I haven't gone to the Father yet. But go tell my low-life, backstabbing, chicken-hearted disciples I've got a score to settle. Is that what he said?
No.
Come on. They didn't do one thing right. They didn't do one thing right. We wouldn't either. I'm not putting them down. The only reason they're assembled is for fear of the Jews. Read your Bible. The only reason they're together is because they're afraid. They're huddled. They're not interceding. Shakarabaka. He didn't even come yet. Holy Ghost, they couldn't even pray like that. They were just afraid that they were next. It's the only reason they were together. Zero faith. When he walked in the room that night, there was zero faith. There was sin, flesh running rampant, fear, loving their own lives unto death instead of not loving their own life. Total opposite of the gospel in that room. And he said, go tell my brethren. Why? He's saying, I haven't changed my mind about you. I know who you are from the beginning. And if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I am the light of the world. And then he walks in the room unhurt, unoffended, and he ministers life and sends them into the world with that same life, all in the same moment. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
In fact, he says, if you look at John 20, he says, peace be unto you. Why? Because his blood's there now. He came back the same day in the evening, the same day. Why is he saying peace? Because he just made peace between God and man. It's Romans 5:1. You now have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, being justified by faith. So he put his blood, peace. He says it to them again. Why? Because he imagines how they must feel because they betrayed him. They walked out on him. They said they'd die and they ran. One of the disciples, it says, ran out of his clothes and ran naked through the trees. Theologians think it was John. I don't know how they think that, but who cares who it was? Watch this. You definitely want to get away when you run out of your clothes. That's for sure. When you run out of your clothes, you're trying to get away. You're not giving up your life, man. You are trying to save it at all costs. Hey, I'm naked, but I'm still alive. Woohoo! Just be real with me. A minute ago, they were at the table saying, we'll all die for you. Now they get the chance and they, woo! Right? And now they're hurting over that. Now they feel bad. And now Jesus is standing there. And you know what's on their mind. How they betrayed him. What's the first thing on their mind? What happened when they pulled in the nets with all the fish? Jesus said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Come on. When Jesus' goodness comes, this thing triggers in us and tries to show just how unworthy we are. Just how bad we've been. Just how... And God's love isn't... He wants to get that up and out of you because he sees a better sight than that. So what's he saying? Go tell my brethren. I'm going to my Father and your Father. To my God and your God. Same day in the evening. You know what Father means there? To come forth from. You know what God means? Source of life. What's he saying? You came forth from the source of life. Woohoo!
Yeah.
So he comes and he says, peace to you. As the Father sent me. As the Father sent me. How'd the Father send him? For God so... See, we always think power and miracles, power and miracles. Don't forget the love. I think heaven on earth, God's will, heaven on earth, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, has a whole lot more to do with the heart of God than the power of God.
Amen.
Because it's love that sent him, and love is the healthy wellspring in which everything flows. And everything worketh through love. Faith works through love. If you pray because of the fear of death, you're just driven in need. And you'll reduce this book, that book, you'll reduce that book to principles you're applying to get help. Instead of a relationship that works through love. Come on. As the Father sent me, so I send.
Yeah.
And when he said this, he breathed on them. And what did he say? Receive Holy Spirit. Come on, he holds all things together by the word of his power. Why didn't he just say, be filled with the Holy Spirit? All you guys, receive Holy Spirit. Why did he breathe on him? Because he's the redemption of man. He brought man back to original value, to the beginning. He took him back to day one. How did God make man in the beginning? So Jesus, through his blood, took man back to the beginning and breathed once again in man as if sin never... And man became a living being that day through the blood of Jesus Christ, his Redeemer. Come on. And then what's he say? If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. What's he saying? If you take this heart that I've loved you in and you become the same as this heart that just saved you, men will know the way to me and men will know that I love them through you. But if you retain the sins of any, how are they going to know? Because you're the body of Christ. I'm handing you the baton. You make me known to the world. What he really says is, if you let your heart get hard, you let religion eat your lunch, you get into works, you get into legalism, and you lose the heart of this gospel, how will men know my love? Through doctrine, without my heart, through my life left. Now you think about what happened to the church over years and all the circles and all the things and all the misrepresentations and all the hardcore legalism and this and that. And we're the only ones and you need to do this and do that and do this. And it got ugly and nasty and we became a turnoff at large and a laughingstock to a lot of people that didn't want nothing to do with the confusion.
That's right.
Be real with me.
Right.
So if you were the enemy, wouldn't you try to scramble the belief system of God's own people and misrepresent who he is and get them to live by form and function instead of heart and expression? Come on. So here's the deal. If you forgive the sins of any, they shall be what? What's he saying? If you walk in the love that I've just loved you in and you look at men through the eyes, I just looked, because he just came from the dead and they've done nothing right yet. And he still qualified them and sent them into the world. He sent them into the world to give the world who he was, and they still didn't do anything right. Think with me. When he walked in the room, Pastor, they were in fear of the Jews. When he walked out of the room, they were empowered to touch the world. Why? Because he said, I know who you are, and the day you know who you are, the tree's been made good and the fruit will be good. See, we're sincere folks. You don't come on a night like this because you're trying to miss God. We want to know him. We want to grow in God. I mean, some people come to check it out or make sure the preacher's preaching truth. I don't know, you know. All right, we like our area. We'll make sure this guy ain't blaspheming. You know, somebody might come for that reason. But honestly, the majority of folks that come to a service like this aren't finding a way to miss God. They aren't finding a way to sin and get away with it. They're looking for more of him. They want deeper revelation. They want increased understanding. True? So I'm not talking to a room of hypocrites. I'm talking to people that God has given his kingdom to. So in all you're getting, get understanding. That's why we're talking this way. Because he thinks that our lives lived is worth the death of his son. So what's he want to do? He wants to restore the image. What happened to Jesus on the way to the cross? Isaiah 52 says he was marred more than any of the sons of men. That means when they were done beating Jesus and flogging Jesus, no man ever looked worse than he looked at the hands of men. That's what that means. So watch this. Do you think you could tell who he was? Think of the barbaric, sadistic things that men have done to men over the years and generations. And the Bible says, which I believe is true, says that Jesus was marred more than any ever was at the hands of men. It's important. It's a reason he's saying that. Why was he beaten beyond description? Why was he beaten to a place of being unrecognizable? The cross plays a parallel. He died so we forever live. He was separated on the cross from the Father so we could forever be joined. He was beat so you live unbeatable the rest of your life. There's just parallels all through. You could study it out. It's powerful. I don't have to have a favorite. It just happens to be mine. It doesn't need to be yours, but it shows me love. He was beat beyond description. Why? He was marred more than any of the sons of men. Why? Because when sin got done with man in the garden, he didn't look anything like it was created to be. So Jesus came and took on that messed up appearance, that lack of identity, that misrepresented thing. He took on that thing that was unrecognizable to pay the price to get our identity back and be sons and daughters again and live in God's image. So he became what we were on the tree so we could become what he always has been, a son. You get it? It's a big, big deal to me. So you can get your identity back. This thing is not about getting your name in a book called life. It's not about you going to heaven someday. It's about heaven getting back inside of you so you can let your light so shine before men and they can see your life lived and go, wow, there truly is a God. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Come on, it's not impressive when we have attitudes like people that don't know God. It's not impressive when we're angry, hurt, and frustrated, jumping ships and trying to church shop to find what we like and where we like. Let's learn to love and let's become love. Let's learn to lay down our life for one another. Amen? So in closing, before we pray what we need to pray, I want to charge you with this. You make it your personal place with God to keep growing and seeking him and thanking him that he's changing your heart and bringing your heart into this place to where, man, you are becoming love, walking in love And you're letting your light shine without trying to turn it on. It's because your heart's changed. And you're going to overcome evil with good, not become a product of it. You're not going to let what men don't see define what you do see. You're going to walk in the light, that he's in the light, have fellowship with one another. You don't have to guard yourself from people because your heart's not up for grabs. It's already been captured by him. Amen. People say, well, you got to keep yourself, people, from getting too close so they don't hurt you. Why are you so touchy? Why are you so vulnerable? Come on, try to hurt me. What are you talking about? I didn't wake up for you to love me. I woke up to love you. Hello? But as soon as I wake up for you to love me, then you owe me something and you can fail me. And now I have issues and I have a right to be less than Christ. That's deception. Come on. We talk about emotional abuse a lot in the church. You can only emotionally abuse somebody that doesn't know who they are. You try to emotionally abuse me. You will get emotionally abused. Try. I'm serious. Because I know who I am. You can't talk me out of what I know.
Amen.
How can you dog me enough? When I worked at work for 2 years, they put poster boards up on the bulletin board. They talked on the intercom. They persecuted what they didn't understand for 2 years. How can I lose a thing at their persecution? How can I get angry at them? How can I get mad at them? Every day they had cartoon pictures on the board with my name, and everybody walked by, giggle and laugh. Hallelujah, brother. Amen. And yet everyone deep in their heart was respecting my life and honoring my life, and they were mocking and scoffing what they didn't understand because it was a challenge to them. So they found strength in numbers, but they had no reality in their persecution. If I take that to heart, come on, how can they stop me now? I have peace every night. I hear the voice of God. He's inside of me and I love them. How can their persecution take anything from me now that I know him? Hello? It just makes you sad for them. It makes you want to love them all the more. A head supervisor comes by me one day who mocks me openly. Like, hallelujah, brothers. Walks by the crowd and we're all sitting there. And he says, hey, how's everybody doing? And they're like, we're good, man. He says, amen. And he had an air about him. Like, if you didn't know Jesus, you'd want to knock him out. That's how I would have been in my former days, right? I'm looking at him thinking, this guy has no clue what he's talking about. He's insecure. He's drawing from people. He's the head guy. He should carry himself more professional than that. You know, you think about it and you just get sad for him because he's mocking what he doesn't understand. So one day he's walking by me in the aisle and he's mocking all the time, openly, when everybody's around is when he does it. So when he's coming down the aisle, I'm working and he says, how you doing, Dan? And I said, and he's just carried himself. He has an air about him when he's coming by me. And I'm like, hey, I'm good, man. How are you, bud? And he said, I'm really well. Thank you. And he just keeps walking. Holy Spirit said, he's not well. He just scammed you. He used the word scam. I don't use that word much. But when you hear that stuff, you got to say what you hear because it means something to them. He said, he just scammed you. I said, what do you mean? He said, he's not well. Watch. He's in the deepest depression of his life. He's been suicidal. He hasn't slept for months. He's going to quit his job and move back to his hometown in New York. I got all that like that. And I went, hey. He said, yeah. I said, you scammed me. He said, what do you mean? I started walking towards him. I said, now watch. If I'm mad at him for mocking me in front of people, if I got a little chip on my shoulder, I'm not going to hear that word of knowledge. That would be in spite of him. I'd be hearing it just to read his nail and get in his face. And no, I have nothing but love for this man because I understand forgiving, Father. I heard somebody say this once that I really honor. Forgive him, Father. They don't know what they do. Whew. I heard somebody say that I really, really love. I'm going to stick with him on this. Yeah. Compassion for this man all the more because of the way he's acting. Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Come on, I read this stuff. This is what it means. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is what it means. Love covers a multitude. This is what it means. I got the great opportunity now to be the church, not do church, be church. And I called him back and I said, man, you're not doing good. He said, what do you mean? I said, you're in the deepest depression of your life, blah, blah, blah. I said it just like I heard it. He cocks his head and he says, does it show? He asked me if it shows. I said, no. I said, in the church, we use the word hypocrite. You're an amazing hypocrite. A hypocrite is a play actor, man. And you're an amazing hypocrite. You're play acting very well. He said, you'll like this. He said, then how could you? And when he said, how could you know? When he was saying it, it hit him, the one that he mocks. He said, then how could you? And as soon as he did it, I saw it. I was on it in the Holy Ghost. He said, that's exactly right, sir. It's the one that you mock all the time. Listen, man, just because you don't believe in him doesn't mean he's not real. And the truth is he loves you and he loved you all the time. And he told me these things so that I could speak them to you to save you out of this lie. He loves you, man, and he's real and he wants you and da, da, da. And I'm just, you can't do that if you're mad at him. You won't even hear the voice of the Lord if you're mad at him. You'll think you hear the voice of the Lord, trip him, kick him. Half hour later, he comes out in the cross aisle and he yells up the aisle. He says, Dan, I said, yeah. He's trembling. He says, well, when we were in the hall, he said, I think we need to talk. I said, I think we need to talk. But I was on the clock and working and he walked away. Half hour later, he's trembling. He's undone. He said, I'm going home. I can't stay. What happened overwhelmed me. I've got to go home. Can you come to my apartment as soon as your shift's over? I said, I'll be there as soon as my shift's over. And I ran, called my wife at break and told her what was happening. She's all excited praying for me. She's not like, well, I need you to get home. You lay down your lives for the gospel. When things like this happen, you co-labor together. You don't pressure one another. Our lives aren't our own, guys. I know at times you got to make sure you have quality time. Don't misread what, don't hear what I'm not saying. But I called her and she was excited. She said, I'll be praying. I knocked on his door. I walked in. He's on the couch trembling. I got to sit beside the man that was persecuting me because I don't see persecution. I see value and destiny because that's all God sees when he looks at me. And I've got his eyes in me, I promise you. And I said, listen, man, you've mocked the gospel only because you haven't understood it. It's good news. Let me explain it. Until I got done teaching him why God and man and Jesus, he's weeping and said, that's the most beautiful thing I ever heard. I said, I knew you'd feel that way. He said, I want this Jesus. I want him. And I said, come on, man, let's pray. He asked Jesus to come into him, etc. I laid hands on him, began to pray. God knocks this guy out on his couch. Literally, he's on his couch. He's like, and I thought, whoa, I don't think he's getting up for a while. He hasn't slept for a while. He's not been sleeping and he's in a good place. I thought, he don't need me now. You don't want to overkill. You just give him Jesus and you slip out. He's in the best place of his life, man. I was in a hotel room one day and this 18-year-old kid from New York wanted to get saved. And I said, man, and I don't teach salvation without water baptism. I'll hold him under till every bubble stops, baby. You want me to baptize you because when I'm done, you're dead. Because I have faith to pull you out of that water. I don't even need a strong elder to help me, man. It's just Samson anointing will come on me. About 40 good seconds after that last jerk. You got him, man. They just sink down a little. That's when you grab them and pull them out. New life. So I took this kid. I said, you got to come to the hotel room. I want to water baptize you in the bathtub. So I filled up my bathtub in my hotel room and I took the 18-year-old and I said, you want him? I said, look, we're not putting your name in a book tonight. You're giving your life to him. You've been driving the car. It's time to give him the wheel. You've been taking life personally. You've been letting your heart get hard. It's time to walk in love. It's time to make peace with God and people. I get it. I understand, Pastor. So I'm going to baptize you in everything you've ever done and everything you've ever done. And I'm down in the bathtub and I'm putting him under the water and I'm thinking of waiting until the bubbles stop. I'm like, really tempted, man. And all of a sudden, this holy, amazing, amazing presence and majesty of Father God came down into the, and just came over the water. It was the most amazing, beautiful thing, tangible. And I went, whew. I brought him up, and he went, oh. And he was real quiet. He wasn't like, yeah, whoa, where? He was just, he came up into what I was feeling. And I just whispered, and I said, this is your father. I'm just going to leave you here with him. And I just backed out of the bathroom and closed the door and left my room. It was amazing. There's times you need to just back out or you'll say something wrong, man. 40 minutes later, that kid came out of the bathroom. He looked like Moses on the Charlton Heston movie. You know, coming off the mountain. White hair. You know, he just was changed. His grandmother looked at him and just started bawling. She looked at his face and bawled. She said, that ain't my grandson. I said, no, it's a brand new man. So in the morning, the supervisor that taunted me and taunted me and taunted me, which I didn't feel taunted, he just was intending that. He calls my phone in the morning. We come home from church. That was Saturday night. Sunday morning, I hit my message machine. He's on there. He says, "Dan, I want to thank you for Jesus." He said, "Peace. Peace. Peace." 3 times. He said, "I never knew there could be such a thing like this. Dan, I slept all night. I woke up. Peace. Peace. Thank you for your Jesus, man." And I'm just standing there. My wife's crying. I said, "That's the man you were praying when I was..." I said, "That's him." She's... We're babies. As soon as the message is over, guess what I do? I hit the repeat button. 3 times just tortured my emotions. Just poof. Because I knew it was coming. I'm already crying. Woo! 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 Boy, that sure beats getting offended. That sure beats getting hypo-spiritual and shouting him down and talking about quoting all these things about persecutors and God bringing down the enemies. And...
oh my God, that's not how we do it.
Come on, that's right, girl. I'll tell you, when that voicemail is on there and you see his heart and life changed, it's priceless. It's priceless. Watch. Now you see why he shed his blood, which you can't put a price on. Because it's priceless. And Jesus thinks his life given is worth you living this way. He's the way. We don't do him. We follow him. Are you guys with me? Okay, good. Well, I didn't do what I wanted to do. But I did all right. Did I do all right? I got an all right from the pastor, so... That's a little relief right there. Because I had something on my heart to do. What time do we have to be done? Can we pray for a situation?
We got kids that'll probably come in at 10.
Will they just know to come in? We're not going
to
hold them late.
We may have to go get them, but that's right.
Can you send somebody to do that? If we do this, I'll do it as quick as I can. There's something I want to pray for real quick, if you'll let me. Because we got another morning together, right? Sunday morning. We got Sunday morning. I'll be somewhere tomorrow. I'll be at another church. But we're not doing an open service in the afternoon. I'm going to be with some leaders and stuff.
No, it's an open service.
Oh, we're having an actual service?
Yeah.
Well, good.
2 o'clock, but you're over at Myrtle Grove at 10, and then you're back here at 2.
I'm here at 2 for an open public service?
Yeah.
Awesome. I thought we were just hanging with leaders and stuff, which
That's
was great.
Right.
That's after 5.
Yeah.
Oh. Do you see how pumped I am now? This is good. I was already pumped. I do want to do this, though. It was on my heart all day, actually. If I can do this, I need your humility, and it's not for everybody. It's just for a few, but God would pull out the few to get their consciences free and clear and touch them and love them. It's something I do a lot. I asked the Lord a long time ago. I said, "Why do I do this as a special altar call and not just part of healing?" And he said, "Because people feel like they earned it and deserve it, and there's shame and condemnation involved sometimes in their own inner heart, and I just want to get it away and get it out and get it off." So I'm going to be real plain with you, okay? There's times in our... Who knows that we're in Christ, we're a new creation.
That's right.
But there's times where we've made decisions in our former life, we've done things, we've made bad choices, we've been places, we've been with others, we've done things that we can't change. Can you go back and change where you've been?
Nope.
Can you go back and change what you've done?
Nope.
But who you are can change. And when who you are changes, you don't answer for where you've been and what you've done. You answer for who you've become. Isn't that a good deal? That's a pretty good deal right there. But I've learned this as a pastor for a lot of years. And it came in my heart about 8 years ago where I realized this. And the first night I preached it, the very first time I preached it as a special kind of separate message, there was a young man in the congregation sitting who had just got released from the mental ward of the hospital who had tried to commit suicide. He was drunk and he butchered his arms trying to kill himself, his wrists, and the kids went in and ministered to him and he got saved. So now he's 6 months saved and he's at church and I'm preaching on this thing. And as I was sharing it, I said, there's things we've done and places we've been that have marked our lives. So you might have done a drug, you might have put something in your body, you might have been promiscue, and you might have caught an STD, you might have hepatitis, you might have did a binge one night, you didn't even party much, but one night you just went for it, and you didn't even know how much you did, but you did, and you've never been able to concentrate since that day. You guys follow me? There's stuff like that that have happened to people, and yet you're born again and you're saved. And while I was sharing this, I said, listen, what the blood of Jesus forgives, the body of Jesus removes. The blood of Jesus pays for the act of sin. The body of Jesus takes away the penalty of sin. That's why you eat the flesh and drink the blood. It's more than the forgiveness of sins. It's new creation. Old things pass. About 3 weeks ago, I was in a service and a young lady was a heroin addict for years and she was a cutter for years. And she put check marks all over her arms, checking off days in darkness. And her arms were so covered with stuff that she would wear long sleeves in 80 degrees. Jesus, through his blood and his body, came into that service. Must have wiped his hands down across her forearms. Took every mark off of her body. Why? Because she's changed.
Amen.
She can't go back and make up for it. She can't take the scars away, but who she is has changed. Jesus will never judge her for that season, so why is it still judging her arms? Come on. Let me ask you this. Did the girl that got healed and delivered in her arms, was she the girl that cut herself? Or was she the new girl? Yeah. Then if old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Why is those things still the same? She's a brand new creation. Come on, I'm just getting on this thing. I could tell you a lot of stories and a lot of people. Countless hepatitis. Came through drugs, dirty needles, promiscuity. Countless STDs gone. Why? Because you're not the person that did that. That person died. And you raised in the newness of life. And what the blood forgives, the body removes. Look, it's just not the will of God for somebody to live inappropriately and get born again and saved and not have that in their heart anymore and then suffer the consequences of that life and maybe even die early because of it when the whole time they're transformed and brand new. So let's get the complete thing off of them. Blameless till he comes. Spirit, soul, and body. Yeah. The reason I have compassion on folks because I've pastored. And I know that people feel like, well, I should have known better. Well, when I did that, I was going to church and I should have known better. Well, I know what you're trying to say, but now that you did it and got bit by it and thought about it and had an encounter with God's love, now you really know better. So you're a different person than the person you're saying should have known better. You've changed, you've grown and matured. About the time we start thinking we have to carry those physical repercussions of what we did when he's washed our sin away is when we're going to be deceived and hold back grace that wants to come. Follow me? Guilt, condemnation, shame. Three biggest tools of the devil and very common in the body of Christ if we're not careful. We've been taught to live in guilt, condemnation, and shame. Guilt says I'm not forgiven. Condemnation says I'm worthy to be judged. Shame says it's still who I am. And they're all three anti-finished works of Christ. So guilt, condemnation, shame are never, ever, ever, ever for the believer, ever. Not even a moment of it. There's a true, healthy conviction of the Lord. There's a need for a Savior, a seeing to change. Guilt, condemnation, and shame will never produce the righteousness of God. Being mad at yourself, anger will never produce the righteousness of God. You guys with me? I was in a service where a man did some heavy amounts of drugs and he lost his ability to retain memory and concentrate. And Jesus gave him a brand new mind in a moment. 6 weeks later, he was the head usher and organizing schedules and overseeing a large group of men. It was a beautiful thing to see. I was just in a service where a lady confided in me and her pastor and his wife that she had the most severe case of genital warts that her doctor had ever seen. She got them when she was age 17 in a relationship. They manifested on her body and never went away 24/7. And it was the grossest, most profuse expression the doctor said he had ever seen. Very unnatural. Just covered with genital warts. She's 34, doesn't want to be in a relationship with a man because she doesn't want to invite him into her mess. So she's wanted a husband. She's wanted to have kids. She's had a dream of being a wife and a mother and having a relationship of love with a man. And she won't have a relationship because he's covered with genital warts. Make sense to you? So the whole time she loves Jesus, she's worshiping Jesus, she's serving in the church, but this is her little secret, and it tries to cross over and be her identity. And every time she showers, every time she dresses, every time she sees those things, it reminds her of where she's been and what she's done and what she can have because of what she did have. Does that sound like the kingdom?
No.
Yeah, I guarantee you it's not. He said, well, brother, it's a humble reminder. You don't know the God that I'm preaching tonight. So that night she came up weeping and we were just praying and blessing, and she got home that night and she got to the threshold of her front door. And the Spirit of God came down and touched her right in the door in a very precious way, and she's very familiar with the love of God. And he said, don't be afraid to look at what I've done to your body. She took off running in the house and investigated her body. Had not one single genital wart. 17 years of profusity, 24/7. Never a moment where she wasn't covered. Which to my understanding isn't even the common thing with those things. And the night we prayed for her at the altar, she went home and didn't have one. She came in with tears and said, I believe, I'm 34, I believe God can introduce me to that man of God that I've seen in my prayers and that I've believed for, and I can still have children and be a mother. He's the redeemer of life. Or is he the one that says, well, you just shouldn't have went there. Come on. So here's my deal tonight. If you're sitting in this room, this isn't just a healing. Don't come up here because you want me to pray for you for any other reason, because you just want me to touch you or pray for you. I don't want you to do that tonight. I want you to be sincere about this. If you have something in your body, in your blood, concentration, memory, organs not functioning the way they should because of something inappropriate you did, gave yourself to in your BC days, or even after you said, I was a Christian, but you've since repented. And if you could go back and change that, you would, but you can't. And that thing marked you. You follow me? I want to pray for you tonight and pray for that mark to get out of you forever and that thing to never touch you again. And you leave her sanctified, spirit, soul, and body, blameless before your King, just receiving his body and his blood and receiving life. Are you with me? Hepatitis, HIV, here's the deal. You don't have to tell me why you're here, and it's nobody's business. Look, there's no one in this room that hasn't sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's people in this room that had did something over and over and never got marked. There's some folks that did something one time and got marked. We're not judgers, we're lovers. I don't know about you. It doesn't do me good when I know people are carrying the effects of their sin and remembering it and reliving it and trying to get over it and trying to turn it into a testimony, and deep in their heart it's bothering them because they feel like it's still yesterday. It's about redemption. It just ain't cool to be carrying an STD if you're not sleeping around because you're born again and you're free. And you slept around when you were 18 and 19 and you were insecure. You broke up with somebody when you were 22 that you thought you'd get married to. And then you slept with this other guy to console you because you didn't have the revelations you have now. And that thing bit you like a snake with poison. And now you're 28 and still carrying that thing. It's time for that thing to get out of your blood. Amen. Because if you could go back and do it over, you would. But you can't, can you? And 2 Corinthians 7 says, it's godly sorrow that leads to repentance. It's regret that's the way the world lives. And it says regret produces death. God doesn't want any of his kids regretting. He wants us free. Are you guys following me? Yes. So it's nobody's business why you come up here. It's none of mine. I'm not even going to ask you. God doesn't show me. Listen, I was in a service. I tell this story all the time. This lady, she was in her early 50s. I was just praying, and she grabbed my arm, and she started crying, and she said, I'm not that kind of girl. I'm not that kind of girl. Well, you can catch her drift. She's in her early 50s. I don't know her story. She's crying. She felt the need, Pastor, to lean in and tell me the quick story in my ear. She's married 30 years to the same man. It's the only man she'd ever been with sexually and intimately in her whole life for 30 years. She's in her early 50s, 30 years into marriage. He gets the idea that he wants to be with this young girl. And he takes off and leaves his wife behind. Follows the younger model. Man, the things we do to each other, huh? So she's broken, devastated, insecure, can't believe it. The love of my life. Husband of the kids, 30 years of marriage. And he just takes off and leaves me. Her mind starts thinking, well, I'm early 50s. Maybe I don't have it anymore. I guess I'm not a turn on. I guess I've lost a little bit of my, I guess I'm not. You know what's going on, right? This guy comes along, shows interest in her. She's hurting. She's vulnerable. She has never been with anyone else in her life, guys. And she's hurt by his decision. This man comes telling her things that she can't see, telling her things that she wants to believe. Next thing you know, she does. She said it was like a dream and a blur. She said before she knew it, she's in bed with this man. She said while she's in bed with this man, the horror of what she was doing hit her, and she knew it wasn't her answer. And she said she didn't know how to get out of the situation. She just left it kind of unfold, but she was kind of there, but wasn't there. And she said she ran home crying and crying and crying. Couldn't believe how vulnerable she had become and what she had just done. She was horrified. True repentance. We got a problem, though. Her body starts getting symptoms. She gets some tests, and the doctor says, you have an incurable form of herpes. It's in your nervous system. It's going to hurt your organs, and you're in big trouble down the road. One time, guys, a moment of insecurity and vulnerability, just one time, she got her eyes off the truth and left what her husband did to find her, and she bit the bait and got into this place, and that thing bit her without mercy. One time. And she's crying, telling me, I'm not that kind of girl, because this thing is trying to mark her as sleeping around, whatever. The doctors, I wonder where she's been. You know, this kind of thing, you get this from other folks. It's one time, guys. She's broken. If she could go back and change it, of course she would. So she had me really emotional at that point, telling me her little story. And I'm not asking you to agree with me on this stuff. I just took her hands and I was really emotional now. I'm fired up. And emotions isn't what brings the kingdom of God. But I was like a big brother at that point. And I said, you give me your hands, girl. And you look me in the eyes. Do you hear me? Look me in the eyes. She looked me right in the eyes. I said, listen to me. That's coming out of you. Do you hear me? She's like, yeah. I said, no, that's coming out of you. And I said, ain't nothing nobody can do about it. That's what I told her, man. And I just said, get out of her. And I was meaning it, right? Wasn't no thunder, wasn't no lightning, no big loud clap. She didn't crash to the floor. I said, you get out of her. You leave her alone and never touch her again. I went to the other people. I went back to that church 6 weeks later for some reasons, and she comes running up to me. And I said, hey, you. And she said, Pastor, guess what? I said, what? They tested her again and again, scratched their head. And they said, we don't know what happened to this HPV thing, but it's not in your blood. And she came running and telling me that story. And God didn't get offended by this. She said, it's not there. And guess what, Pastor? It's not there. I said, of course it's not. Of course it isn't, honey. I wasn't being disrespectful to the Lord. I said, do you know why? She said, yes, because he's merciful. He's so loving. He's so kind. She started worshiping God. I said, well, all those things are true, but that's not the why I was looking for. I took her little chin and I said, I'll tell you why it's not there. Because you're not that kind of girl.
That's all right.
Because watch this. Everything she praised him for is true and it needs a place to land. God sees you apart from sin and God sees you as a son or daughter forever. But you better put it on and wear it if it's going to land. God's all merciful. You better learn how to receive his mercy. God's grace abounds. You better be a good receiver of grace. The Lord asked me a long time ago, Dan, do you know why you live the way you do? I know what he meant, consistency. I live with me, you don't, I do. So nobody knows me like I do. I'm excited about my life. I love who I've become. I have no trouble hanging out with me. I actually think I'm pretty cool now. I go to bed with me, I wake up with me, I look in the mirror, it's me, and I'm good with that, man. I'm like, dude, you're awesome. If you fist bump yourself in the mirror, it'll always fist bump you back. It's just cool. He'll never play you, he'll never... This is solid, man. He said, do you know why you live the way you do? And I said, because you're faithful and you're amazing and you're the God of all grace. And he said, Dan, that's not the answer I'm looking for. And I said, Lord, that's the only answer. And I started wondering what voice I was hearing. Because you are what you are by the grace of God. He said, Dan, the reason you live the way you do, on the night you got saved, you were sin conscious for a moment. But ever since that moment, you've been a son in your heart. And I just began to weep. Because that's all I see. He loves me. He's not mad at me. He's not waiting for me to pass or fail. I'm already in and I'm his boy and he loves to love me. That empowers me every day. And then he said, see, Dan, all the things you said that I was in worship to me needs a place to land. Your view of who you've become is the landing strip for all that I am. Whew. It's one thing for me to say, Ginny, God really loves you. It's another thing for Ginny to be loved by God. It's one thing to say, Tom, Jesus loves you. I'm always right. It's another thing for Tom to be loved by God. So please, I need you to cooperate when you come up here. I don't want anybody coming up here for any other reason other than you came in here tonight with a mark from yesterday that's not who you are. It's not in your heart. And if you could change where you've been, you would. If you could change what you've done, you would. That's a no-brainer. But you can't. But somehow that thing's tracked into your new life. I want it out of you tonight. No matter what it is, any mark from yesterday, I need you to come on up here right now and don't be ashamed. And when you get up here and come up here, what you're saying is, it's not who I am. Thing needs to go. Just come on up. There's a bunch of you. You'd be amazed how many people are here. I wouldn't be preaching on it if it didn't fit the room. I felt it all day in my heart. Come on, there's at least 17. There's 18 people. I'm looking for 18 people. Don't come up unless the shoe fits of what I described, but the shoe's not yours. Come on up. Come on up. Don't be ashamed and don't wonder what people are going to think. And if you feel like you need to cry when you're up here, make sure your tears aren't condemnation and shame. Your tears are the fact that God's merciful and he loves you and he sees you apart from this thing. Come on, I wouldn't have this altar call if God wasn't willing to see you apart from this thing. Come on, God sees you for who you've become, not what you were. God sees you for the brand new, not the old. Amen. Come on, guys, I need you up here. In Jesus' name. Right now, I want you to thank him that he loves you. Just thank him that he forgives you of everything you've ever done. That this thing isn't about your sin, it's about his love. Come on, your heart's been changed, true? Let me ask you this question. If you could change your actions of the past, would you? That's a given, isn't it? Guess what that means? That means you've changed. You'll never be judged for where you've been, you'll be judged for where he's been. Amen? And that's what makes you righteous. Wow, I got my 18 for sure. I got 22. That's okay. 18, I just knew there was at least 18. It wasn't a solid word of knowledge. It was just, man, if I didn't have 18, I'd have been plowing for more. Oh, I would have. You guys ready? It's real simple. It's not a charismatic thing. It's not a lightning thing. It's a Jesus loves me thing. And what he forgives, what the blood forgives, the body removes. So the blood of Jesus was shed to forgive the act of anything we've ever done outside of him. And the body was given to remove the effects of that action. Does that make sense to you? So we're going to eat the flesh tonight. And we're going to drink the blood of King Jesus. You're willing to do that? And just let him love you and give you life, spirit, soul and body, blameless till he comes. You ready? I'm glad you had the heart to come up. I seen you really listening. God doesn't usually show me who I'm talking to, but I could tell that you were really listening. Come here. Come here. It's okay. Give me your hand. He's going to change that, okay? I'm just telling you, he does it all the time because he loves you, sweetie. That's right. Newness of life. Now you be forgiven. You stand here and be forgiven. I don't ever want you to look back. Okay? You're not trying to fix anything back there. You're letting it die tonight. You don't need to fix anything. Just be his. That's good. Just be his. He loves you. And he makes you new. I thank you, Father. Nothing can stop the power of your blood. The power of the name of your Son, God. In Jesus' name, be whole. Every trace of yesterday come out of her body and her blood. Be brand new. judgment of God. Righteous.
Yeah.
In his sight. That's good. And he just let the peace of God's coming. That's good. That's the Holy Ghost coming. See, he's taking away that feeling and that thing. He's changing the definition of your tears too. You've cried some humble, broken tears, but if you're not careful, those tears stay in a realm of regret and kind of remorse. But God's, I know, I see that. But God's changing your tears, honey, to tears of joy and his amazing love, and just overwhelmed because you're so excited to be his. And I hear that he doesn't ever want you to question that you're his ever again. Just be his. And just know that the blood settled it. You say, yeah, but, shh, no, yeah, but, shh. I hear the Lord saying to let your mind be still and let your heart get really big and active. And just let his love begin to change some of your actions. Let his love begin to change some of the things you think are weaknesses. Don't disqualify yourself. He qualified you. Let his grace make the difference, honey. Learn to stay in his love and never change the identity that he's given you. You wake up every day his, every day a daughter, every day free and clean. I bless you. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you'll begin to mentor her and father her. And I thank you, you'll cause her to walk in wisdom. Body, you come into alignment and agreement. And Father, I thank you. The reason she came up here, spirit, soul, and body, I thank you, are all removed. And I thank you from this day that she can even mark this day. That she says, man, you did something in me, God. And you've left your mark in me, Lord. And I've never been the same. I bless you. And I speak life over you. Amen. I just felt like taking time with you, okay? I'm not going to do that with everybody. I'm just going to touch you quick. Stretch your hands and begin to pray for these people, okay? And just thank God for new life. Thank God that he removes every trace of everything that ever was and brings the revelation of the new life through Christ, okay? I'm just going to touch you real quick. I just want you to believe he loves you right now and just thank God that he loves you. Thank God that he loves you. Thank God that he forgives you. I'm telling you, the reason you came up here can change before anybody even gets near you, guys. A lot of times things are already done and gone and over. But I just declare that nothing can stop the power of his blood and his name. This great cross of Christ makes men free and makes men clean. And I just pray for wisdom for you too, sir. That I feel like the Lord's going to open up something in your understanding and cause you to begin to see some things you've been longing for. In fact, I almost feel like you've been frustrated with some questions, but God's going to take the frustration and begin to just show you the truth, man. He doesn't want your heart hurt and angry. You guard your heart. Out of your heart flows the issues of life. You keep your heart protected. Keep it before the Lord. Ask healthy questions and ask humble questions. I know God's bigger than our frustration, but he wants you to begin to be a steward of your heart, and don't just let it be easy to be the way it was yesterday. Start challenging that, man. And I feel like God's going to do an amazing work in your emotions and your mind. And he's calling you into that place. He loves you, man. And he has a great, great destiny for you to walk in his spirit and walk in his love. So I just feel like he's taking away some confusion and frustration, some pain, some unanswered seemingly questions. And it's not that you're necessarily getting the answer of that thing that troubled you. You're just going to see it different, and it's just kind of going to fade away is what I see. So he's going to take you out of that analytical place. I feel like you've been kind of just laboring there, and God's just going to cause you to live from your heart in a special and beautiful way. I bless you, sir. Man, I see the great love of God for you. You're precious to God, and you're precious to the kingdom. Don't you believe anything else, or I'm telling you, you're deceived. You matter much to God and the plan of God, or he'd have never shed his blood for you. So I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you walked up here. I'm glad you were here tonight, my friend. And I bless you and I speak life over you. Body, you be healed in Jesus' name. Every trace of yesterday, you leave his body in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for speaking over his heart and his mind tonight and coming and loving him and fathering him. Yeah, God, thank you. Precious and important in your sight. Yeah, wisdom. Spirit of wisdom coming upon you and understanding, God. I just believe it. In Jesus' name, I bless you, honey. I just declare wholeness over you. In Jesus' name. I'm going to be a little quick. I don't need to be long with this. If I hear something, I'd say it. But you didn't come up here for a word. You came up here for that thing to be gone. Amen? So in Jesus' name, leave. Leave. Yeah. Well, I'm just going to say this. I don't know how everybody will receive this, but I'm telling you, it's scriptural. God, that you would touch them today as if they've never sinned. Touch them through the blood, God, righteous in your sight. That's really good. As if they've never sinned. And let them see themselves as if they've never been outside of you, God. Thank you for new life in Christ. Thank you for redemption through the Son. Thank you for the blood of Jesus speaking better things than Abel's blood. Thank you for the cross of Christ. That's good. Just receive it, guys. Just receive it. New life through Jesus Christ. Spirit, soul, and body, blameless till He comes. The redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ come upon you. Every one of you. Every one of you. As if you've never eaten that tree. As if you've never strayed away from Him. As if you've never believed a lie or acted on a lie. I declare it over you, Pearl. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Complete wholeness in you. Complete wholeness. In Jesus' name. God, I thank you as if we've never eaten the tree. And God, I thank you, Miss Pat just enjoys just the greatest expression of your love and righteousness of any days of her life. That this season would just be such a season of a whirlwind of knowing you and being loved by you and walking in that love. God, I thank you that you make even some of the things that seemed trying and challenging very simple to her. And I thank you that her life is a picture and expression of grace. That her testimony and legacy would be, what a woman of grace. Everything seems so easy for her. My goodness, it just was the way it was. God, I thank you. That's her testimony. I thank you. You make it to be so in her sight and in the sight of men. In Jesus' name, I bless you. I bless you as if you've lived righteous all the days of your life. I bless you as if you've never sinned. It's okay. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's good. In Jesus' name. That's good. Just receive His love. You know, we can never go back, guys, and do things over. That's why He makes things changed. So we don't have to. Knowing we would makes us changed. He'll never judge us for where we've been. He'll judge us for where He's been. Yeah. It's just a good day. Amen. In Jesus' name. Bless them, God. Touch your kids. Wholeness, the reason they came up, let it be removed, God. You know each one. In Jesus' name. It's good. Complete wholeness in your people. Not one mark, not one thing of yesterday remain. Wow. Encourage her, Holy Spirit, and strengthen her. Yeah. And just bring comfort to our heart, God. I'll tell you the reason you came up here. I just believe God's doing that, okay? And I just believe He's changing that. But I also heard that He wants you encouraged. And there's a way, a couple of real close people in your life, especially family, and just don't fear. Just God's challenging some things that would tend you to worry and fear and motivate it. And your prayer's not motivated by worry ever again. It's going to be a short little sweet thing for you, okay? No matter what concerns you the most, I believe God's going to draw conviction out of your heart to begin to pray into that thing from a place of destiny and a view of truth to where you see the answer. And I feel like God wants your heart so held strong by the answer and never moved by the problem, the dread, or the worry. And I just feel like He's bringing a strength in your heart and He's mending something in your heart that you felt was really hurting and breaking. It was somebody very close in your life. And He wants to repaint the view of relationship. And I'm not talking even guy-girl stuff, just relationship with close people to your life, to where the closest people don't have the ability to break your heart because you love them and you actually have a higher destiny than what things appear in your vision and in your prayers. I just feel like God's going to really teach you how to pray by faith and pray by truth. Amen? And it's just going to be a sweet thing, and you're going to see amazing response of the grace of God in some areas that concern you the closest to home. That's kind of what I hear, the closest to home. God doesn't want you fretting. He just wants you so blessed. So, Father, I thank you, spirit and soul and body, blameless till He comes. In Jesus' name, thanks for your girl. Wisdom in Jesus' name. Bless her, God. Bless her, God. Man, that you would come up here. Thank you for being humble. And just be clean and be free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's good. It's just good. It's all good. In Jesus' name, clean and free. Clean and free. Yeah, Blood of Jesus, wash him clean and free. No mark, man. In Jesus' name. Thanks, God, as if he never sinned. Hey, my man. Just thanks, man, for coming up here, okay? Bless him, God. Father, you know exactly why he walked up here. Let it be no more. When he walks out of here, let everything be changed. Because you love him. And thanks that you've taught him how to receive that love. Thanks for his humility to walk up here. And thank you for the grace that changes things. I bless you, sir. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless her, God. Total redemption. Total redemption. In the name of Jesus, blood of Jesus, wash clean and make new. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. And I thank you for it. Amen. Just real quick before you guys go, raise your hands up real quick and just do this. Just say, Father, thanks that you love me. You make all things new. You only ever see me through your Son. Thanks for teaching me that and loving me this way. Thanks for changing everything. I love you too. Amen. Amen. Did I get you? I didn't get you? Come here, man. Bless you. No, that's all right. I didn't see you back there, man. Completely whole, completely clean, completely free. In Jesus' name. God, I thank you for it. Wash clean. Spirit, soul, and body blameless till he comes, friend. As if you've never eaten a tree. Blood of Jesus, thank you. Body of Jesus, thank you. Amen? Okay, I've got to quit. I'm going to do this real quick. Just if you have any other need for healing in the congregation, I'm going to do this in 30 seconds, man. And then tomorrow, if you come back, we can check some things out. I'm not going to take time with this because I felt this in my heart. If you need prayer for anything in your body that would be considered healing, just raise your hand right where you're sitting. Just hold it up high. People look around. Somebody near them, just grab them or get over and get somebody's hand that's up. If you're behind them, if you're beside them, just get your hand on them. We're going to do this real quick. I usually don't do this for the sake of time and just honoring the whole clock thing right now and kids and families. Just get your hand up. I'm going to do this quick, but it won't be ineffective. It'll be fun. Let's just pray real quick. I want to get somebody. Get to them. Yeah, thanks. Now listen, I'm going to pray. It's only going to be about a 20-second prayer. But I want you to pray with me, okay? And I want you to do something simple. And we might teach on it tomorrow a little bit. But I want you to stay simple. If you guys are familiar with Randy and things like that, it's pretty simple with Randy. But listen, your prayer doesn't heal anybody. Never will, never did, never will. It's the finished work of Christ and your faith in what he's accomplished. It's not your prayer that heals. A lot of people think it's their prayer, so they get self-conscious and try to pray right or pray harder. It gets weird. It's works. It's not cool. Your prayer has never and never will heal anybody. It's your faith in what he accomplished. Did you get it? Okay, that makes it pretty simple. That takes the pressure off. Well, we all need prayer college. And we're all running the risk of failing in our prayers. No, the sign follows the believer, not those who pray correctly. So who can believe that God loves these people? Isn't that sweet? That's liberating. Yeah. So we're going to pray. I want you to pray with me, okay? Don't think, well, he's gifted and, you know, it's going to happen because he's here. No, it's because we believe and we're a body of believers. Amen? So you got their hand, right? You got them somewhere? So when I pray, I want you to just something simple like be healed in Jesus' name. Every sickness you leave, every infirmity you go, be completely made whole. Something direct, something clean like that. You ready? Go ahead. Pray that over them. Father, I thank you. You heal all through this room. I thank you. You do the work that only you can do because you love people. Be healed in Jesus' name. Thanks, God. That's right. Every infirmity leave. Every pain, every sickness, every disease come out of the people. Every trace of arthritis, every impairment, go in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, be healed. If you're being prayed for, just thank God he loves you right now. Just say, I believe it. Father, thank you for what you do in me. Thanks for making all things new. I don't want to take a ton of time. Just one or two people. Two people, real quick, check your body that you know it changed when they prayed. It was something you could check. Not everybody can check. Not always everybody can check. But just two people, you know that something changed when we prayed. Let me see two people and just tell me what happened. Listen to me. I need two people. Check your bodies. Check a symptom. Check something that you know. Well, okay. It definitely changed. Okay, good deal. And you know it's different. No doubt about it, right? Good. Anybody else? Give me one more real quick. I'm not going to take long with this. It's late and I don't want to do this long. Usually we walk through this. Who else? Check your bodies. Who can say? Yeah, go ahead. Okay, listen, when you leave here tonight, go out of here in relationship. Even if you didn't feel it totally change, or you're ready to go to bed and you know it still feels that way, talk to the Lord. Don't ask a bunch of questions. Don't produce unbelief. Faith is a position in your heart. When you get to bed, Father, thanks you love me. You're doing an amazing thing in me. Thanks for the love of the brethren and thanks for your love. God, you're awesome. And go to bed in faith. Wake up in relationship. You got it? Love you. Amen.